Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming next, baseball's 1985 All-Star Game.
From the New York Mets, number 12, pitcher Ron Darling.
Talking about coming a long way, Ron Darling, born in Honolulu and was raised in Millbury, Massachusetts. That's near Worcester. In fact, it's pretty close to Holy Cross. And in 1975, in the storied World Series between the Red Sox and the Reds, why, Ron Darling was in Fenway bleachers in Game 6 when Carlton Fisk hit the memorable home run. And Darling has come from there to the mound at Shea. 0-2. Got it. The way Boggs strikes out, he has struck out 8.
Got it.
The 1986 World Champion New York Mets.
Hi, I'm Ron Darling of the New York Mets. I had a choice, pitch in the World Series or watch the season premiere of Saturday Night Live. Lucky for me, I broke my hand.
And a pleasant good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to City Field. Gary Cohen, Keith Hernandez, Ron Darling with you today.
Ronnie, have you ever had Skyline Chili?
I have not.
I would recommend...
Not having it? Or?
Well, no, you need to try everything once.
Okay,
right?
All right.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
That's Gen Z lingo.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Like Riz is charisma. And...
Is that what Riz is?
You didn't know what it was?
I had no idea.
If I'm teaching you, you're in a lot of trouble.
Oh.
Is that a convention?
There's a lot of stuff going on here, other than
a quality baseball game.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
It's great to have Ron Darling be a part of the show. Obviously, he's going to be part of the broadcast tonight on TBS of Cubs and Brewers. Game 2 of the 5-game National League Divisional Series. And he joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Ron, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. Would love to know what you thought about what you saw on Saturday.
Well, I think my first thought is that very occasionally teams have a hangover from a big series. And I felt like the Cubs against the Padres, I mean, it was really hotly contested, a lot of moves, a lot of clutch play. And it felt like, even to me, who hadn't played in any games, that the series, game one, came so quickly. It had to feel like, instead of close to 48 hours, it had to feel for the team, the Cubs team, like it was 4 hours. And I think they're going to benefit from having yesterday off. I think just having that little time to breathe and kind of get themselves situated again is going to do be a good thing for the Cubs.
Well, that would be a nice turn of events if we see a perkier Cubs bunch tonight. Did you feel like you saw the effects of 3 days rest on Matthew Boyd? It's so hard to tell on that stuff. And the Brewers were so aggressive. They had those three doubles in the first 6 pitches, so they went out to get him right away. What was your thought on the rest and any effect, if you did see it?
Yeah, I don't know if I saw any effect. I mean, I'm such a big fan of Matthew Boyd, and probably the Cubs might not be in the position they're in without the way he pitched all summer long. I don't think it's the 3 days rest as much. Is that, you know, he got 180 innings his first full season after Tommy John. And, you know, he's done an amazing job to keep himself healthy enough to make that start. It could have been 3 fly balls instead of 3 base hits. You know, when you look at teams and you say, God, they look sluggish, starting pitching has a lot to do with that. If you have a starter that doesn't perform well, he's out in two-thirds of an inning, it makes the whole team look sluggish. So I don't think it was really the Cubs. Matt Boyd just, he had a bad game. That happens in the regular season, happens in the postseason. I've had plenty of them myself in the regular and postseason. It's not a reflection on Matthew Boyd, certainly what he's done this year.
I want to go back to you talking about the break between the two games, because I do wonder about what the psyche is, what the psychology is of having a bad game and then having an opportunity to take a breath, take a day, and restock your pitching because no one's throwing for a day. If that's better than going back out there the next day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
100%. I think that you saw what happened to the Yankees in Toronto without an off day. I mean, they got bamboozled there 2 days in a row. Not that that would have happened to the Cubs, but I think it's less likely to happen because they had a day off. And they're going to go into this game where everybody in the bullpen's ready. All your A guys out of the bullpen are ready to go. If you have a situation in the fifth inning with the middle of the lineup for Milwaukee, you might bring in your best reliever to get through that that little snag. So I don't think the Cubs have ever been better positioned right now to take a game. And you go back home to Wrigley Field tied 1-1. That's a whole different feeling than how you feel today.
1985 All-Star Ron Darling is here with us on the Spiegel and Holmes Show on the Score. 11 Hall of Famers in that game, Ron. It's a pretty good batch. Do you remember what you felt like when you find yourself on the field with all those guys?
Yeah, it was pretty special. I think it was a special kind of 3 days. My parents came in from Massachusetts. I remember my mom was so excited because she had never seen an ice sculpture that had shrimp on it. She thought that was like the most amazing luxury that she had ever seen in her life. But to have them there and to be amongst all those great players, I always remember that at the San Diego Padres All-Star game because they had Steve Garvey at first, Craig Nettles at third, Terry Kennedy was behind the plate, Tony Gwynn in right field. They just had so many. Lamar Hoyt started that game. They just had so many San Diego Padres in that game.
That sounds amazing. Like, what a way to be introduced to all of that stuff. And then considering how much time you spent in the game and announcing the game, what does postseason games, what do they feel like for you at this point in your career?
Yeah, it's a great question because it's really changed, right? From, you know, when I played where you had to win your division or you weren't going. And now the opportunities are more out there to get yourself into the postseason. I like it the way it is now. I love all of these players getting multiple chances to prove themselves on the in October. Sometimes if you're unlucky, you only play once in October and never get a chance to do it again. So I like seeing all the teams have a chance to, and I don't think we've ever lived in a time where all 12 teams have a chance. It's really a tournament style opportunity that we've seen it with the Nationals who went in as a wild card, the Braves who went in as a wild card, the Arizona Diamondbacks 2 seasons ago took it to the World Series. So everyone has a chance to go if they're playing their best ball.
What do you think that you could live in this environment where it's so volatile now, where if a pitcher back in the 80s, 90s, and maybe the early 2000s was having a rough game, they would get an opportunity to work through it. That is not the case, and we saw it with Boyd on Saturday where he gets pulled. Yeah. For starters now, the idea that you might have 50 pitches maximum inside of a playoff game, does that change the way that you prepare for it?
Certainly. You know, there was a time when you pitched in the postseason where you were thinking about how am I going to navigate through this lineup for 7-plus innings. I think it's a mistake now if you're a starting pitcher and think like that at all. Really what you're trying to do is navigate the inning. You're not trying to navigate innings. You're not trying to navigate the lineup. You're just trying to navigate the three hitters you're going to face in that inning. And I think for Shota Imanaga, who's going to pitch tonight, that'll be the key for him. You know, in some of his best games, you know, he's the kind of guy that can go through a lineup 3-plus times because he's got a great assortment of pitches when he's on top of his game. But tonight will be a different kind of game for him. He's going to really kind of try to power his way through the first 3-plus innings, maybe 4-plus innings, and then they'll probably go to someone else. No reflection on him. It's just that with all the available arms, after that, they'll just do a matchup game.
Ron, I've saw a stat I can't stop thinking about, which is based on the last 5 years of playoffs. Every time a hitter sees a pitcher an additional time in the same postseason, his numbers get better. So, and this is in aggregate, right? So that means
yes.
You see a reliever for the second game or the third game or the, you know, in this series, the fifth game or whatever it is, you've got a better shot. But I guess it also gets tied to the starter seeing a batter for the second time or the third time. So I'm trying to figure out what the right takeaway is. I still feel like you need length at some point from some starter along the way so you're not seeing the same relievers again and again and again during the course of a series.
Yeah, you're so right. I think if you look at the first four games for the Cubs, and I know they used an opener, Kittredge, in one of the games, but they've only gotten 10 innings in the four games from a person who has started the game. That's going to have to change if they're going to go deeper into October. And as far as the extra at-bats first against a starter, anytime they're going to the third time through the lineup, the most pitchers, 90% of pitchers, their numbers decrease from there, and that's why the managers will take them out. But you make a good point. It's the same for relievers. If you're using the same reliever through the same lane with the same hitters, well, after a while, it's going to be sort of like how they hit against the starting pitchers. And it also means that you're using that reliever a lot. So anytime you use a reliever a lot, his stuff might start out at 100%. It might be 88 by the time he's pitched for the fourth time in that series. So they're seeing a pitcher who's probably less than his best for the third time. That always bodes poorly.
Is there a managerial groupthink that's happening right now that is, I don't know if it's a problem or if it's just a consistency across the league that we seem to see?
Yeah, the groupthink is that the managers are scared to death to leave a starting pitcher in too long. That is the biggest second guess for managers throughout the league. What Aaron Boone did with Schlittler the other day was amazing. To pitch him 8 innings, it made that win so easy for them in the wild card series. But most managers are afraid is the wrong word. They're very cognizant of not going too long with their starter, and that's the biggest groupthink that we have going now. And but if you're willing to take a chance and pushing your starters a little deeper, and I'm talking about your elite starters, you know, the guys that are as good as any in the game, Skubal and others, this is the time to push them to try to reduce some of the innings that those relievers are going to have to work. Who do you want in a game? Turk Skubal or any other reliever? I'd take Skubal 100 times. The product we have now is that the best player that you started with in the game does not pitch in the eighth or ninth inning or the fourth quarter, or, you know what I mean? Every other sport, if it's NBA or it's NFL, the best players play in the final quarter. We don't have that with starting pitchers in baseball. And I hope someday it returns to form. So you can see like Rick Sutcliffe going out there for the ninth, you know?
Ron Darling joining us here on Spiegel and Holmes. You can check him out on the broadcast tonight on TBS. We've been having a lot of fun with Craig Counsell and Pat Murphy and their relationship and Craig and the Brewers, and now he's with the Cubs. It is a fascinating tale of a man who loves Wisconsin and then had a great job opportunity and left, and the people there still haven't forgiven him. We saw it Saturday. Anytime he walked to the mound, yeah, he got booed. How interesting is that to you guys as you're calling this?
It's so interesting to me. I've never seen a manager booed like he's been booed here in Milwaukee. But he's gone from like the most favorite son to a guy who gets booed. We know why it happens. And I think that, I don't know, for people in Milwaukee, you know, that have a smaller town feel, they just feel like... betrayed is a real strong word, but I think that's how some fans feel, is that our local guy from Wisconsin went to the enemy. And, you know, what in reality, Craig took an opportunity, which very few managers get, to get a contract that no manager has ever got, to manage one of the most storied franchises in the history of the game. That makes sense all the way around. But with 45,000 people in the stands, I think he'll be booed for the rest of his career in Milwaukee, which is kind of crazy.
It is kind of crazy. Pat Murphy says that the Brewers come with a chip preloaded on their shoulder because of the size of the market, because of their proximity to Chicago, and he smartly uses that. They're a pesky bunch, aren't they?
They are, and it seems a little gimmicky now because they did lead baseball with 97 wins. So, you know, to continue to feel or at least portray themselves as the underdog, I'm not buying that personally in the booth. They're just really good. They're tenacious. They're very athletic, very much like the Cubs in the sense that they have real athletic defenders who catch almost everything that's in the air. The Cubs, of course, have more thump than they have, but they have five hitters in their lineup tonight that have 140 or more hits. So they do a lot of things well. It seems to people that are a little older like myself that it feels like baseball from 1980 or 1978 or something, where guys run the bases well, they field well. The fundamentals of the game are really important for this Milwaukee club, and that's maybe how you win on the margins with baseball nowadays being played, with how fast does your pitcher throw and how hard can you hit the ball.
Ron, what players did you play with or against? You saw them be able to harness their emotions, because I think we've got a young player here in Chicago and Pete Crow Armstrong that is trying to figure out how to be emotional and how it can benefit him. Were there any players that you played with or against that you were like, yep, this person has finally figured out how to do that?
Yeah, there's been a few. I think you either have to have a tremendous confidence. I played with Lenny Dykstra. He's one of the greatest postseason players I've ever saw, and he did it from a place of unbelievable confidence. I played with Keith Hernandez, who did it with the ability to not change what he did during the regular season and what to do in the postseason. I think with Pete Crow Armstrong, and I'm such a huge fan of his, I think that he is the kind of player that just needs to be authentic. You know, I think to try to think that he's going to all of a sudden rein it in, be a little quieter, maybe not as emotional, I would never want to see that from Pete Crow Armstrong. His authentic self is why we love the player. You know, he gets upset when he doesn't do well, and he really celebrates when he does do well. I want to see that celebration from Pete Crow. He plays on that kind of emotion. Now, listen, 5 years from now, you might see a different Pete Crow Armstrong. We're seeing a different Vladimir Guerrero Jr., aren't we? A more business-like approach, and he's having a great division series. That will change probably for Pete Crow. But right now, I think just be authentic, be him, and that's playing with his hair on fire. We all enjoy watching that.
Ron Darling here with us on Spiegel and Holmes. Such good stuff. Hey, Ron, what are organizations supposed to take away from the Mets' collapse? What are we supposed to learn in a town like this from a $340 million payroll that doesn't make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think you take away what you always take away, and that is that this baseball, game of baseball, which is a team sport wrapped around individual accomplishment, one player does not change as much as you think it will, dependent on how much you pay for that player. It's just not that kind of sport. Even if you go out and get the best pitcher, he only pitches once every fifth day. If you get the best player, if you look at the Mets' top four hitters, and that would be Nimmo, Soto, Alonso, and Lindor, they all had iconic, historic seasons, amazing seasons. But the problem is that the lineup has nine players in it, and the other five have to produce as well. A lot of these teams that are in the postseason now are here because their 6th, 7th, 8th, or 7th, 8th, 9th player in the lineup has had a good year and has been able to turn over that lineup to your best hitters, 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's the nature of baseball. You can go out and try to put an all-star team together, but at the end of the day, you've got to be able to catch it, you got to be able to pitch it, and you got to be able to play pretty much fundamental baseball. Watching the Cubs go through the Padres in the wild card, it was one of the greatest examples I've seen of a defense winning a series for a team that I think I've ever seen. Their defense won that series. Now, I know that some quality pitching as well, but sometimes you get quality pitching because the defense is so strong. Those things still count, and teams that relinquish that and don't think they do are the teams that end up outside looking in.
And that's a top-heavy team full of expensive stars in San Diego as well, to your point.
There you go.
Is Keith coming back? Your booth is so good. The direction is so good. The whole thing is so good. Are we getting Keith too?
Oh, 100%. There's no way that we can even do what we do without Keith. When Gary Cohen and I do the broadcast ourselves, it tends to get a little nerdy because we're both a little nerdy by just who we are. And Keith lightens it up, surely. I think that, you know, when I look around the boots in the league, and they're both friends of mine, but Boog and Jim Deshays, they're just so excellent because not only are they on point with all the things you have to be on point with, but they have fun and they have a great time. And that's what it's all about over a regular 162, is that at some point you're trying to entertain those folks who are watching. No one entertains better than Keith Hernandez.
Ron, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great call tonight.
Well, thank you, guys, and let's hope this goes five games, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
That would be a lot of fun if it were the case. Thank you so much for this. We truly, truly appreciate it.
Bye, guys. Take care.
See you later.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.